Welcome to the Main Namey Podcast, a podcast where we at themainnamey.com talk about all things pop culture and whatever else is on our mind. Check out the website at themainnamey.com or visit us on Twitter at twitter.com/themainnamey. If you have any questions or comments, please feel free to email us at themainnamey@gmail.com. Welcome back to the Main Namey Podcast. This is Anthony Delvecchio, and with me today is Mark Myers. Say hello, Mark.
Hello, Internet.
Ooh. Very sultry voice you got there today.
Yes.
Dan Aquino will be joining us shortly, but we started without him. So, Mark, how are you doing today?
Pretty good. For all of you out there that may have parents that think they know technology, but don't really, I think you'll understand this little story I'll tell. I had to go today. My mom's boyfriend, who's in his mid-60s, needed a new computer because after 10 years, it finally had enough. And he's trying to play these new high-end Pinochle games.
Ooh.
And I guess it finally fried the motherboard, or the video card or whatever. It just didn't turn on again. So we went out, shopping for a new computer for him. And we get there, and there's like maybe three computers, and I'm like, I don't know how much money he has. So I'm trying to look at these computers, and I want to say all this jargon, and I know he'll just nod at me, and without knowing a word I'm saying. So I'm trying to pick out this computer for him, without really knowing how to sell him on one. So
Right. Essentially,
it came down to, I was like, look, if we get this one, all I got to do is hook it up to what you already have. If we get this one. It was like an all-in-one, one of those things you just plug and it goes. I'm like, this would be completely different. You'd have to reset up your desk and refigure everything. And it's white, not black. I was like, those are the only differences in them. And he looks and he goes, will I be able to play Pinochle? And I'm like... Yeah, you can play Pinochle on either one of these machines. I'm like, are you looking to play like HD 1080p Pinochle? And he just gives me a blank stare. So we ended up just getting him a little HP desktop that, would be really low scale for me, but for what he's doing, I think the computer might outlive him. That's how much I don't think he's going to burn this out. But it's just funny. It was the first time I had the experience where he knows a little bit about technology, but all the questions I want to ask him about it, he would have no idea how to respond. And
right.
It's just one of those things where you have parents that use technology and get it done all the time, through their phones or whatever they have. But then when it comes simply down to it, they don't know anything.
Yeah, I think all of us millennials can sympathize.
What have you been up to?
Well, first I'm going to see if I could dial in Mr. Dan Aquino.
Ooh.
So hopefully this goes off without a hitch.
Yeah.
Or else we'll have to do some editing. But here we go. Let's try and get him in right now.
No problem.
I've been playing a lot of the show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's basically, it's been kind of a weird week this week. A lot of personal things going on, so we haven't really been doing much, just work and such, and of course this isn't working. That's why I'm kind of stammering as I'm watching this, trying to connect.
It's been a weird week for me in video games too, or things in general. Not to spoil a little bit of my semi-topic. But the only exciting thing I did this week is I went to a WWE pay-per-view on Sunday that was in Philly.
Oh, nice.
And no, it was terrible. The show was awful.
Oh, really?
It was really, really bad. I'll rant a little bit on it as part of my mini-opening segment once we get Dan, because I have something completely better to finish out that segment. But, work's been busy. We're finishing up final, real rush of the summer as we get to August. And... I keep looking at my PS4 list and seeing Persona, and Horizon Zero Dawn. And I'm like, I want to play both of those. And then 5 minutes later, I end up getting on my computer and playing either City Skylines or PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds.
Oh, how's that going?
I'm not good mouse and keyboard. I'm learning. I don't know if it's because my wireless mouse might be shitty. Okay. But it's solo, it's the most intense game. Because at any point, someone can pop out of a house and kill you. You have no mini-map, no way of keeping track of them. You know.
Okay.
So, it's pretty tense.
Hey!
Hey, Dan!
Speaking of which, it only took two tries, but we got Dan Aquino on. Say hello, Dan.
Hi, everybody.
So, Dan, we're actually pretty early in the show. You haven't missed much. Kind of just still in the opening. So, what have you been up to?
Nothing. I was just out to dinner with my sister and her boyfriend.
Ooh.
And went to Buffalo Wild Wings.
Nice.
Ooh.
Yeah, we're taking a little break from... Yeah, it's very classy. We only the best for us Aquinas, as you know. We're taking a break from moving everything out of the house. We close on Monday.
Congratulations.
Oh,
this has been a well-documented ups and downs on the podcast.
Yeah, it's been a rough journey, for sure. And at the end of it, I'm homeless.
Well, there's looking on the bright side.
Yeah.
You're not homeless. You're just lacking shelter.
That's a better way to look at it. Yeah, I choose not to have a place to live.
Domestically challenged.
That's a good one. Yeah, that's pretty much what it's all about right now. Keeping it 100, as they say.
So essentially, you're just going to ride the trains for a while? Is that the plan?
Ooh.
I'm going to live out Anthony's dream.
That is my dream. The life of a hobo. Riding the rails.
I have my knapsack.
It's called a bindle, sir. Yeah. If you're gonna be a hobo, you gotta master the language.
Oh, yeah, I have until Monday, so I can Google it.
There's a whole code system you gotta learn too. Don't forget that.
That's true. The hobo etiquette.
Yeah,
I'm all for it, man. I got my bindle ready. I'll have one of my batarangs for protection.
Nice.
Yeah, the hobos. Your Braveheart sword.
Yeah, I'll have to claim more there. I'll be ready for them. Whatever they throw my way, I got these guys.
Great.
What about you? Up to?
Not much. Mark was told us that he had to help his mother's boyfriend purchase a computer, and you know how that goes when trying to combine older people and technology.
It's usually a pretty easy situation from what I'm told. No problem whatsoever.
No.
Yes, and then he was talking about this game that he's been playing called PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For what console?
Yeah. Battlegrounds is essentially... Have you seen Battle Royale?
The movie.
Yeah,
the Japanese movie.
The Japanese movie.
Yes.
Okay. It's essentially that, but it's less kung fu, but more guns. You're just 100 people dropped on an island, and at the end, you win a chicken dinner.
Win a chicken dinner.
Exactly. That's what it says on the end screen when you win.
Oh.
No joke. I'm completely serious. That is what it says when you win the game.
Really?
So yeah, I was saying when you're playing solo in that game, it's the most intense feeling I've ever had playing a game because they don't give you a mini map or anything. So you're just going around, you know, you get a big map, but all it shows is you and the towns. And you're just going around looting, picking up guns. And at any moment you could open a door and there could be a guy standing there with a shotgun.
That's pretty cool.
So yeah, it's pretty cool. I'm trying to get a little better with mouse and keyboard playing it. I'm trying to convince friend of the site Tom to pick it up so we can do duo maybe on Twitch or something. But,
he's not a fan of violence, though.
Yeah, so.
Right. He doesn't like that kind of stuff.
I just want it because I know I'll frustrate the shit out of him while we play. So I think it'd be good entertainment. But, and the other thing I was ranting about before I get to the main part of my little opening I usually have. I went to see the WWE had a pay-per-view on Sunday. And it was by far one of the worst experiences I've had going to any pro wrestling. It was pretty boring. There were a couple great moments that weren't with the wrestling. I had one of the wrestlers' t-shirts on, Shinsuke Nakamura, and when I was taking a piss in the bathroom, three guys behind me started chanting his name and doing the clap, clap, clap as I was going to the bathroom.
And you're like, guys, stop, I'm shy.
No, I'm going to... As I finish, before I flush, they do it again, and I just put my hands above my head and do the clap with them, which garnered many applause from the people that knew what was going on in the bathroom.
I am so far behind with WWE and all that. I have no clue who any of these guys are.
Yeah, he's a Japanese wrestler that came over recently.
Is he the one who wears, he wears a lot of red?
Yeah.
He's very flamboyant, right?
Yeah, yeah. He thinks he's a mix of Freddie Mercury and Michael Jackson. Is what
it's very flamboyant.
He kind of reminded me. He kind of looked like the Japanese Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, it's good comparison, too, for a wrestling comparison, in terms of the flamboyant style. Yeah, yeah.
All right, so I'm on the right track.
Yeah, yeah. He doesn't wrestle so much like Shawn, but in terms of entrance and stuff like that, he's, you know, on the same page. So. Anyway, the second thing was I was there with a bunch of friends, and one of the guys has two sons, so they were there too, 8 and 10. And there was this one part of the match where this wrestler Rusev was putting John Cena in the camel clutch, you know, Iron Sheik's thing. If you remember any of that, so
that was before us started watching.
So he puts him in the move. You know, he basically sits on his back, puts the arm on the knees, and pulls the head back. Sort of thing.
Okay.
They're going through that, and the one kid goes, "Dad, what's that move?" And he goes, "That's the camel clutch." He's like, "I'll be putting your mom in that in a few hours."
No.
And all the adults around at the same time did the hand on the head, like, "Oh no."
That kid has a rough upbringing.
And these kids are like, "All right, what does that mean, Daddy?" So that was thing number two, and the third thing, which is the most pissed off thing and thing about wrestling itself, was they had this match, and just go with me here, I'm not going to explain too much. It was called the Punjabi Prison Match. It was...
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah, so...
It had, like, the bamboo ring or whatever, cage.
Yeah, so where we were sitting... If they did anything on the opposite side of the ring from where we were, we couldn't see it. Like, it was literally, because most of the time when they do those cage matches, it's made in a way that you can see through, so you can see everything. Like, if it's a chain link fence or it's those steel squares, you know, you can see through. Well, the way this was set up, because it was two different cages, the one was set up so you could see through, and then the other one had, like, diagonal. So they were. It was kind of just basically like trying to look through a wicker fence
thing. That's fun, and not being able to see anything.
Yeah, and we're just sitting there, we're like, we can't see anything. And I felt bad for the people on one side because they made a surprise return of a wrestler, and if they couldn't see the ramp through the prison, nor could they see the video board because that was up in the rafters and was blocked by all the retired number banners. So they had no idea what was going on.
Who made their return?
The Great Khali, who is
I remember the Great Khali.
Yeah, so he came back. Because the champion...
Like that guy that's got like the face like an Easter Island stone head.
Yeah, he's like 7 foot four, you know.
Big ugly Indian son guy. Of a bitch.
Yeah, he's... the champion now is this guy Jinder Mahal, who's, you know...
That's not a real name.
He's playing the, you know, the evil foreigner bad guy.
Oh, we're back now to the 80s?
Yeah. Yeah, and John Cena is
evil. Recycled back.
John Cena
had is that the guy who wears the head scarf or whatever?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, John Cena had a flag match with our rivals Bulgaria in this pay-per-view.
I can't wait till the USS Intrepid special where someone's going to body slam somebody.
God. Yep. It was pretty bad. So, mini rant over there, because I'm sure I bored most of... Oh, I could have went longer, but I'm sure I bored most of the audience at this point. But something to spice it up a little bit is something I saw on Twitter. I don't know if you guys saw this. I wanted to get your genuine reaction if you did not see it. Somebody had said that there's a little caveat at the end here, so wait for that before giving your answer. If you went back in time to 1986,
okay,
and you, which of these four people would be the most shocking when you told them what happened to them in 2017? Donald Trump, Joe Paterno, O.J. Simpson, or Bill Cosby? Now, the caveat is, it's just Trump being elected president, not everything else that happened.
Okay.
So, which one do you think the person in 1986, after you calmed them down when they started asking about flying cars and hoverboards?
Who was the first one?
It was,
Donald Trump, it's Trump, Paterno, OJ, and Bill Cosby.
And Bill Cosby.
So, what do you mean by, like, OJ would be getting released?
No. Meaning that he did the double murder. This was in 1986.
Oh, you know, but that's not too far away, really.
Yeah, but
so you go back to 1986 and he's like, "Hey, OJ, 10 years, you're gonna murder your wife."
You're not telling the people. You're just telling a person in 1986 about.
Oh. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, about
Bill Cosby.
Yeah,
Bill
Cosby, right? Because everyone loves him.
Yeah.
But everyone loves O.J. Simpson, too.
Yeah, but it's still, it's 2017, and most people are still looking for excuses for Cosby.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like, there's more than a handful of people that still don't believe that he did that. So, yeah, I would say Bill Cosby.
Yeah, that's basically the answer I've seen most of the time, especially if you take the caveat that it's just Trump being president. If you tell everybody how Trump became president and all the stuff that's been going on since he's been president, he usually wins in a landslide.
Right.
But, yeah, the thought, that was a good, because I was thinking about every, at that time, you know, those four people, how polar opposite their reputations were.
Right.
Than now. Trump might be the closest one. They could go, oh, yeah, I could see him, you know, Reagan's president. Why couldn't Trump, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, but, yeah, I was like, that's a really good Twitter question.
I think the big thing with Cosby is the scope of how he did it. It wasn't just two or three. It was like 70.
Yeah.
If it wasn't such a huge magnitude,
yeah.
I don't think it'd be as crazy, I guess.
Yeah.
Anyone could be like, well, you know, he mixed up signals or just didn't know what he was doing. But, you know, it would be much easier to excuse or try to excuse, you know what I mean? Like, it would be a much easier than women by the droves coming forward. That's
he basically turned rape into a part-time job.
It was like a hobby. It's more of a hobby. He's not filming the Cosby Show. He's raping.
Right.
What they were doing in the off season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, it was the first time that they ever done that, you know, time travel thing where the subject they picked actually sounded like a really interesting question for people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, some of them were all like, you know, what would you do to go back and, you know, what would you get, like, tell your past self and stuff like that. But this one was like, just a random person in the street. First off, after they stopped freaking out, you told them you were from 2017. But Yeah, it was like, it reminded me of an old skit I saw. I don't know if it was British or something, where a guy builds a time machine, and he decides that the first thing he wants to go back and do is kill baby Hitler. And when he sets up the time machine and he zoops back into time, there's like a line.
To kill baby Hitler.
To kill baby Hitler.
It's just a baby.
That's how the skit ends. He pops out and there's like 10 other people standing in line and all in front of this baby carriage. It was pretty good. But and it always reminds me of the thing where if somebody actually does, like, think about all the people in the street, if someone just poofs out of nowhere, stabs a baby in a carriage.
And it looks right, that would be...
And it looks around and goes, trust me, it's for your own good. And then just like zips
that's
out of
there. Scary,
but so I've been waiting to record this podcast to do that question because I was wondering, get your fresh opinions on it. And it seems like everybody's in line with, at the time, it's definitely Bill Cosby.
Yeah, I'd say so. Yeah.
Yeah, he was America's dad at that point.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, that was pre-Ghost Dad.
He hasn't been convicted yet, though.
Neither was OJ.
when I was going to the house or throwing things out, my parents had a how-to books from him.
Oh, so, God.
Yeah.
Did any of them involve Quaaludes?
I never read them, but... He looked so trusting on that cover. You know, he had the multicolored sweater on, and it was just like, this is how you do things. Listen to me, Alma.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alright.
Okay, guys. I think we have spent a lot of time on this question.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to move on. I know I don't remember your guys' names anymore. Mark.
Yes.
We get the video game corner eventually. I'm sure we want to talk quick recap of what we thought about San Diego Comic-Con. So I'm going to leave it up to you guys. Do you want to go into Video Game Corner? Then we'll wrap it up with the good old San Diego Comic-Con. Hello?
I'll leave it to you guys. You want to do Game Corner first?
Yeah, the video game thing's going to be pretty short. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so let's go right into Video Game Corner.
Yeah. Video Game Corner's lead story is semi-personal one, too. Last week, Walmart, out of nowhere, popped up their pre-orders for the Super NES Classic that is coming out this fall. And I just happened to be on Twitter and saw someone pop up saying they were available, clicked on, got my pre-order in, felt lucky, and then also 2 days later, it came around that, oh, maybe those orders were put up prematurely. So people were getting cancels left and right, but it sounded like a lot of, you know, people put their wrong credit card information in, or they didn't have enough money in the bank, which is what Walmart does. They, like, ping your bank account, and if it comes back non-sufficient funds, they cancel your order. You know, it doesn't take money out, but, like, the bank says, nope, that amount of money is not in here. Same with your credit cards when you pre-order with them. So we thought, oh, maybe it's just that stuff where people got in too late and they oversold because, you know, Walmart tends to do that. But then we found out that, yes, they did put it up too early, and they canceled everybody's order. So my order ended up getting canceled. But the thing that pissed me off the most about it was through this error and getting all these people's hopes up and all, Walmart, like, didn't even, not even like a, here's a $5 coupon to use online.
Right.
Like, nothing. Just a letter going, I'm glad you're excited about blah, 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 blah. And then the last line is, I hope when they do come up, you remember to shop with us again. And I was like, yeah, the only way I am doing that is if you're the first one up. So you guys better be the first one up.
Yeah. You're getting a lot of things off your chest today.
Yeah, doing a nice rant. We've been away for a while. I had some things.
I know you got a lot of pent up things, man.
Airing grievances tonight.
You should try punching pillows. I hear that works.
Yeah, so that was the big story this week. Disappointed a lot of people because this thing, Nintendo has this thing where they do manufactured scarcity, where they don't produce enough things, and then everything sells down. They go, oh, we didn't know it'd be so popular. And then, you know.
Those coy sons of bitches, they knew it would be popular.
They do it all the time, and it's just become a running joke at this point, and I think they think it's a good business practice. But
they've been doing that since the 64.
Yeah, it's just like, at some point it's going to bite them, but at this point they put enough good games out that you still have idiots that want to buy the stuff when it first comes out. So, the other quick thing in Video Game Corner, one game came out that's kind of interesting. It ties back into wrestling. This old Japanese wrestling game called Fire Pro, which the big thing with Fire Pro Wrestling is that essentially they would make characters that sort of looked like real wrestlers, but like weren't, wink, and gave them different names. And now that they're on Steam and on PC, you can put anybody in there that you want. So you go through the list of things in the workshop, and you can have everything from Mario and Luigi fighting against the tag team of Link and one of the guys from Pro Wrestling, the NES game. Mm-hmm. To just random games journalists. Jeremy Corbyn, the labor leader in Britain, is a created character that you can subscribe to on Steam. It's just a really interesting game where there's so much detail in it that you can just make about just about anyone. Like, and make it look really realistic. And the great part about the business model is all they have to do is just put the game out there, and the fans will populate the roster themselves. They don't even have to worry about doing any of that.
Could you make Bart Simpson?
You can make something that looks kind of like Bart Simpson.
Could you make Homer Simpson?
Yeah, you can make yellow-skinned characters. I mean, they make all the people...
Marge?
Marge would be tough. I don't know if they have the hair.
Not Lisa.
No.
Yeah, I think everyone but Marge would be doable.
Maggie?
Yeah, I would have to look up. Yeah, no, I mean, I'm trying to think what else. They have all the, like in video games, all the street.
Mo.
I would love to see Mo. That would be great. Now you're going to have me look up and see if there's any Simpsons characters in there. I know there were a couple Family Guys.
What about Carl? Mm-hmm. Probably can't get that skin tone.
Yeah.
Carl?
As in Lenny and Carl.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
About 70% of the people that buy that game just essentially download all these wrestlers and then just throw them in matches and watch the computer simulate it, because it's kind of funny. It's the less HD version of what used to be Video Game Championship Wrestling streams, where they would create characters in the WWE games and then build stories around them.
Gotcha.
In this one, it's just... just a really interesting game if anybody out there likes wrestling or just likes the stupid idea of throwing a possible matchup of Ken from Street Fighter against Homer Simpson in a wrestling match. You know, it's just good fun. That was one of the games I want to play.
So you can make Homer.
You can probably make Homer. I mean, they have yellow skin. You can give them just about any color skin. I mean, they make Starman from... yeah, they make Starman from Pro Wrestling, who has pink skin. Technically.
Red skin?
Hey.
Well, hey now. Take it easy there,
if we separate the words red and skin, yes, you can make skin that is red.
Don't you tell me how many words I've meant.
But yeah, it's an interesting game for anybody who wants to check it out. It's $20, early access. So it might be something that might pop up at Game of the Year at the end of the year for us. So look forward to that. So yep, that was quick Video Game Corner. It'll probably start picking back up as once Madden comes out, is basically when it becomes open season for new video games to pop up. So
gotcha. Cool. Yeah. All right, you have anything to add to Video Game Corner, Dan?
I don't. I'm sorry. I haven't touched my PlayStation 4.
That's all right. There's always
quite a while.
There's always a Subway grate to sleep on Video Game Corner, Dan.
Yep. Thank you very much.
That's going to close out Video Game Corner.
Yeah.
So I guess the final topic is probably a bigger topic. So unless there's an idea that somebody has, I guess we should just kind of finish up with just, you know, our reactions to a bunch of the news from San Diego Comic-Con.
Do you want to do a quick rundown, not spoiler anything, but thoughts on Dunkirk?
Oh, that's right. We saw Dunkirk.
Yeah.
I gave it a 10, which you can read on the website at themaindamey.com. Dan, have you seen Dunkirk yet?
I have not. I refuse to see it because you gave it the score you gave it.
Oh, man. All right. Well, I did say it's not as good as Braveheart in there. Did you read the review?
I did. I didn't see that, though.
It's there. It's in white type. He's got
in white type.
Yeah. You gotta highlight it. You'll find it. It's there.
Oh, listen. When are you gonna give Mel Gibson a break, huh? The man's done his time.
I don't think he has.
Okay, well, just do your thing. So, look. Podcast is ruined for me now. I've heard from numerous sites it's incredible. So take it away.
Yeah. Essentially, just to, because Anthony did write the review on themaindame.com. Go read it. It's probably one of the better ones, if not the best one you've done on there. But I'm always a little cautious about giving out tens.
So, oh, like I'm not.
I'm not saying you're not, but just on my opinion side, if one movie was going to get a 10 and be one of the few that I think is basically almost a perfect movie, because nothing's a perfect movie, unless we're talking about Sharknado, then that's a perfect movie. I would probably, just to be safe, I would do a 9.75, but I wouldn't fight anyone that thinks it's a 10. But
kind of sounds like you're fighting me.
No.
Now we're going to have to fight.
I just have a pre-2007 in the video game world, GameSpot, when they were like had 6 or 7 people talk to a reviewer whenever they gave a 10 to absolutely make sure it was a 10. And my point is, I don't think I would have argued you out of that 10.
I feel like this is shade being thrown at me. What's wrong, Mark? You got something you gotta get off your chest? You came in here with rants and now you're just shooting across the bow at me, man.
I joined late, but he's coming.
I feel
in
like I'm a little bit like Fraser Crane on this. I'm like your radio psychologist.
Oh, I'm projecting.
Mark, I'm listening. Nothing? Come on.
Nothing.
Come on, man.
Don't pull back now.
Yeah.
You've gone too far, Mike.
All right, well, we'll talk off air. If you don't want to talk about it now, it's fine.
No, it's not.
It's fine. It's fine. No, I get it. I get it. All right, let's move on. San Diego Comic-Con, Dan.
Yes.
I'm going to just man, as I disconnect Mark's conversation. Which would be a good idea because he's recording right now.
Yes, I hold good all point. The power.
So, yeah, I guess let's talk first, trailers. What would you say was your favorite trailer that you saw from San Diego Comic-Con? There's a lot of them.
It's a toss-up for me. I really like Thor Ragnarok. I thought that was awesome. And I also like Ready Player One.
Ready Player One was cool. It's kind of like batshit crazy.
Yeah, I think what helped that one out was I had no clue what Ready Player One was.
Mm-hmm.
I had heard that they were making a movie about it. It's based off of a novel. But I, for some reason, I never looked it up. I thought Ready Player One was almost like a, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't think of it. But I didn't think it was an actual story. I thought it was more like a documentary kind of thing.
Oh, sort of like, I think there might be a documentary called, like, Player 2 Has Entered the Game, or...
Or, like, The King of Kong, King or something Kong, like that.
A Fistful of Quarters.
Right. But I thought it was more along the lines of telling the story of, you know, modern video gaming or something along those lines.
Right.
Yeah.
But, oh, man, it looks so cool.
Yeah.
Seeing, you know, the Iron Giant, it really got me at the DeLorean. DeLorean comes in.
Yeah.
Fantastic. It looks... I don't know how good the movie will be, but pure nostalgia, it'll probably be fantastic.
Yeah, it falls into the category where, you know, is it going to be a, you know, fool me once thing because of Pixels? You know, how that was a nostalgia trip in terms of that, but that was an awful movie. You know, is this going to be a good enough movie that all that nostalgia stuff doesn't seem like the only draw? I mean, with Spielberg doing it, I trust that it will be a better movie than Pixels.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the thing he has to avoid, which it's funny that in one of the moments in the book, you know, he's referenced as like this epic figure, Spielberg. So it's kind of funny that he's doing it. Like, we can't lose the movies of, and they list a bunch of directors, and then tag on Kevin Smith at the end, which always makes me laugh. But, it's just, with nostalgia plays, it feels like Ready Player One has the problem of, if they throw too much of it, you know, too quickly and out, it's just gonna burn everyone out of that stuff pretty early in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope they trickle it
in. I think there is a danger.
Yeah.
I agree. I think you do run the danger of throwing too much. Like, oh, you know, here's Freddy Krueger, here's the DeLorean, here's the Iron Giant, here's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle. You do have to kind of space it out evenly so it's not just an onslaught. Oh yeah, I remember that. Oh, I remember that. You know, it needs to be done carefully.
Yeah, they either have to do a really good job of telling the actual story that is involved in the book, kind of like how Wreck-It Ralph threw all that stuff at you really early, but then the story played out and kept you hooked. They either have to do that, or they have to do those things where the nostalgia stuff just pops in, like out of nowhere. Here comes the DeLorean, or he walks by a thing and there's a Ghostbusters logo, you know, stuff like that. You know, and don't make it like obvious. Like, not everything has to be a wink and a nod to the nostalgia. Maybe they're just in a room, and he opens up a book, and it's like talking about I don't know. Only thing that's popping in my head is Star Wars, but it would probably be more 80s centric than that. In the book, but
He-Man,
you know, stuff like Masters of the Universe and stuff like that. But yeah, and they can't make it as overt as Blade Runner with the Atari logo, because that is one where, what the hell is this doing in the movie? You know, when it pops up, because it essentially is like the first thing you see. And maybe I haven't seen Blade Runner in a while, but I know there's an Atari logo in the original.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if it, what part it played in the movie, that it's one of the first shots of that trailer.
Right.
But yeah, that's what they have to worry about, is if they're going to do it, don't make it an all throw it in your face thing. Have it be cute little Easter eggs that pop up. And that's one way they can avoid being Pixels.
Mm-hmm.
That's definitely one way. I think
having Adam Sandler is the other.
Yeah, that's much more obvious way. I think I really am. I'm a huge fan of this new Thor movie. I think this one will finally get a good film out. The last two have been very mediocre.
Mm-hmm.
I like the whole buddy comedy that they have going on between Thor and Hulk, and it'll be interesting to see those two go at it, and then see how it goes from there. Because now, do we want to give spoilers? It's a trailer, right? Do we care? People have probably seen it.
Is it spoilers for the trailer?
Right.
Yeah, go ahead.
Can you really do spoilers for a trailer? No. I don't think so, right? So now that they're giving Hulk line, you can actually speak, and this it looks like they'll have some pretty funny banter on that end, as well as just having it Thor and Bruce Banner.
Mm-hmm.
The action looks good. I think Cate Blanchett will be a good villain, it seems.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like they have a good formula for this movie, and the trailer looked like it was a lot of very colorful. It's going to be good. I think it'll be it'll definitely be the best Thor. I don't think I'm going out on too much of a limb.
It's not an entirely high bar.
Right, that's what I'm saying. I don't think it's really that much of a gamble.
Yeah.
But, you know, and I think some of those characters are meant to have other characters to support them.
Yeah.
If Thor is not a particularly strong character on his own, having another character from the MCU there, I think that'll definitely boost it.
But, yeah.
What about you guys? What did you enjoy from the Comic-Con?
I really liked the trailer for Stranger Things too.
Yeah. That was a lot of fun.
And the new It trailer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did that come out for Comic-Con? Or that just came out yesterday?
They played something there. It was kind of like an extension of the first trailer. But then they released one today.
Yeah, that looked...
Or past week.
Actually scary. Surprising.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, I...
It's been a long time since I saw the miniseries. But I don't remember being scared of that version. I don't know if you guys were... How old were you when it came out?
I think it was late 80s. So I was probably like 4. To be honest with you, I don't think I've actually sat down and watched it. I've just been reading the book, so that's kind of been getting me interested in this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that you had...
Yeah.
I got to... I should probably read the book before anything, but the miniseries didn't really scare me. And I was pretty young. I was probably around 8 or 9 when I first saw it.
Yeah. Obviously, the main factor is how much do you not like clowns, essentially. If you were scared of clowns as a child, you know, then Pennywise is probably going to give you nightmares.
Refuses to watch it.
Yeah, I would assume since it was a miniseries on television, right? This wasn't like an HBO thing.
No, it was like
CBS in the early 90s.
Yeah. So I'm assuming a lot of the stuff that Ant's probably finding in the book that would have made it scary and will make it scary as a movie probably was not in that miniseries. But my family's obsessed with it. They actually recorded it. My one aunt loves Stephen King stuff, so she used to have VHSs anytime any of that stuff came on TV back then. What was it? The Stand was the other one that was like a multi-part miniseries. Is that right? The Stand? Is that what the end of the world?
Stand. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. That. I remember us having those VHSs in the house of taped off TV stuff. But I think it'll make a much better movie nowadays than if they tried to do it, you know, the only way they could have done a miniseries with Netflix. Because I don't think you could do a castrated broadcast version and have it get over as well. And plus, you don't have Tim Curry to play Pennywise nowadays.
Right. And it doesn't seem like they're trying to recreate what he did.
No.
And I think they're splitting it into two movies, so it's going to be. First movie is just the kids aspect, and then they'll pick it back up when they're older.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's essentially what the miniseries did.
Right. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I like Stranger Things too. That seemed like it was pretty cool. The one thing I kind of wish they had held off on was showing, or if I kind of wanted, you know, at the very end when she sticks her hand through, I guess, the portal.
Mm-hmm. Talking about 11, right?
Yeah, 11. Yeah, so I was kind of hoping that they would hold off on that, or if they were going to show 11, just show her hand coming through the portal. I think that would give you a little. I think it would have ended better than just, oh yeah, she's in this as well. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it seems like it's going to be awesome watching those kids ride around in their Ghostbusters uniform. That reminds me of me as a kid who used to do the same exact thing. So it's easy to relate with these kids, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looks good.
Yeah, essentially. Yeah, without seeing season one, I really enjoyed that that trailer. You know, made me, if that was season two, like, was the first season, the trailer did a really good job of making me want to watch it, despite not knowing any of the things it was pointing at in there. So, that, yeah, it's definitely one of the trailers I enjoyed as well.
What did you guys think of the Justice League trailer?
Kind of forgettable.
Yeah, I mean,
I am.
The only thing that it gave me hope of is that they're going to make Ezra Miller's character part of the comedic moments, and I think he will do a very good job with that stuff. So
he's the character I'm most looking forward to seeing.
Yeah, yeah, he's one of those characters, like top five actors, that I will just see just about anything he's in. So I'm really.
I don't know anything else that he was in a Fantastic Beasts. That's all.
Yes.
All I know.
I believe that's true. And the
he was in Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Yeah.
And we need to talk about Kevin.
Yeah, we need to talk about Kevin is probably his best role. That is, that's a really haunting movie. Yeah, I had the unfortunate thing of seeing him in Perks and going back and watching that movie. And it was, you know, just completely different acting performance, which makes me excited anytime I see him pop up in roles that seem a little different. You know, playing the Flash, you know, being a superhero after playing basically a gay high school kid in the early 90s, and then a psychopathic kid, you know, hell-bent on killing people. Spoilers for Kevin. But, yeah, I'm glad that they're using what I think his main skills are in a fun action movie. You know, they're gonna let him use his comedic side.
Whoa. We don't know how fun this movie's going to be.
Yeah.
Well... I'm just.
This is still.
Have you seen Batman v Superman?
Yeah. Okay. My point was being they're seeming to be going more for his Perks character than his need. We need to talk about Kevin character.
All right. Don't need to shout, Mark. Come on.
In the sense that.
he's coming in hot.
Don't need to shout.
He's coming in hot tonight. I don't know what this guy's doing.
Coming in with those hot takes tonight.
You know, the one thing I noticed about the Flash character. It doesn't seem like he has been a crime fighter for very long. He has a line where, you know, it's cool where you guys are ready to go to battle, but I don't do that. I just push people and run. So I think that will be an interesting dynamic because you have the grizzled veteran in Batman and the new family in Wonder Woman who is going to probably dominate the movie, I'd imagine. Cyborg, you don't know what you're getting.
Yeah.
But it looks like him, you kind of, other than terrible CGI.
Yeah, it
looks like with the Flash, you had the humor and the inexperience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And does anyone really care who Alfred was talking to at the end there?
No.
A huge...
Yeah, it's people overanalyzing.
It's like Elastic Man or whatever. Plastic Man. It's going to be someone terrible. I would love it to be someone else.
Yeah, so the most important news to come out of Justice League, if you guys have heard, with their reshoots, apparently Henry Cavill cannot shave his mustache
for Mission Impossible
during the reshoots. So we're either going to get some kind of excuse for why Superman has a mustache.
I think they're editing.
They're going to have the CGI it out, and it's going to look awful. So
it's incredible.
Or so, incredible.
Oh my goodness. Warner Brothers. Par for the course, my goodness.
Right, par for the course if you ask me.
I just love some of the art that popped up on Twitter of Superman with a mustache.
Yeah.
Kind of funny.
Ant and I were joking around the other day. They should just superimpose Gal Gadot's head on Superman's body. That'll fix that off. All the reshoots replacing her in a scene where she doesn't need to be.
Just get the technology they used on Fast and Furious 7 for Paul Walker.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. And once again, come back. It's always Fast and Furious with you, Mark.
Right.
Have we gone a podcast without Fast and Furious?
Is that what this is about?
I have a quota. I need to get one mention of Fast and Furious.
Attitude is about? Is that like you're busting to talk about Fast and Furious?
I think Fast 8 just came out on DVD, but.
My goodness. You really have a serious problem. Jeez. You need help.
I know. I need to go drink a beer as long as it's Corona.
Here we go.
Oh my goodness. So just kind of bring it back to Justice League. Yeah. They also announced that Flashpoint will be the first Flash solo movie. Are you guys excited about that or what it could mean, or you think?
Very.
Yeah.
That's DC's built-in excuse to change characters.
Right, exactly.
They want to usher out Ben Affleck. They have an open door now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's also one of the best story arcs to have happened in the past decade.
Yep.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, it's going to be interesting.
I kind of wish they had done this first in some way, Justice League. Or if they're going to do it, I would love to see Justice League where they lose.
Right.
It would really set them apart from Marvel. If they go down swinging against Steppenwolf or Apocalypse shows up and just wipes them out, Flash has now become the main character. He can change everything. I think that's the way it should go. They probably won't, but I think that would be an interesting take.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. Anything to make sure that they're different from Marvel outside of being dark and moody and not knowing exactly how to portray that.
Yeah.
You know,
it has to be done well. Just different for the sake of being different doesn't make it good,
as
we know.
Yeah, but I'm interested to see. It was something that perked up my ears when I heard they were doing it, because I wasn't overly enthused about an Affleck standalone Batman movie.
It's ballsy. I like the direction that they are taking this character. I think that'll be a very successful movie.
Yeah.
I'm not really excited for Aquaman. We have that Wonder Woman 2 was coming out. But you know what confuses me? Wonder Woman 2. I think correct me if I'm wrong, I think they said the setting's going to be in the Cold War?
I believe so, yeah.
So you're telling me she took off two major American wars? Like she missed World War II in Vietnam.
Well, is she specifically American? You know, she's not like she's not like, is she like Superman in that her cover is that she's like this, I mean, Vietnam was a quagmire and not technically not an official war, so, you know, and Captain America had World War II covered.
Oh, yeah, but, so why would she take off the Second World War? She's supposed to protect humanity.
Because
Captain America had it.
Because the Russians are now the in vogue bad guys again?
Yeah. Is that the canon reason? Oh, Captain America had it.
Yeah.
I would love it if it...
I would accept that.
I would love it.
A deleted scene where she shows up to World War II and then she just sees Captain America and is like, oh, he's got it. Never mind.
Yeah, Steve Rogers shows up.
I was just going to say, Steve's got this. And then she walks away.
And then she goes back to Paris.
Themyscira. Why would she want to leave?
I thought that she was talking. Yeah, I just thought she sided with America because of Steve Trevor.
Mm-hmm.
Hines character. But I think you're right. I guess she's just more on humanity's side.
It's a good thing a German didn't show up first, right?
Right, or yeah, we'd be speaking German.
Yeah, she would have been like, oh, you're fighting a war. You must be the good guy.
That's a great point. And so I'm assuming since nothing happens in the Gulf, and since nothing happens in the Cold War, what kind of action could there possibly
maybe
be?
Maybe she stops everything from happening.
But yeah. Rocky did that.
He eventually stopped it. He put an end to the Cold War.
He put an end to it.
But maybe she prevented it from being an actual war.
Ooh. I think
dun, dun, dun. I think she's catching nukes.
Obviously, I think that'll be that movie will probably make all the money in the world as well.
But yeah,
I was just confused on that little. She took a breather from World War II. And I'll always be there if you need me, except for now. I gotta let you guys handle that.
Yeah, it's like the completely off topic with how they separate the years. You heard the thing with how they had the built-in canon story with the minions as though why they didn't serve Hitler. Like that they got banished to an island between 1930 and 1970.
It's a nice little
step around, you know, like, there. Yeah, going. Because their whole thing is that they serve evil. So
right.
The little kids have them as Nazis. They separate, so maybe, maybe it'll be some reason why
that would have been that would have been tough to explain to your kid.
That would have been amazing if they just owned it. It's like, yep, the minions were Nazis during World War II.
They were just doing their job, right?
Yeah.
They were just doing.
Yeah, so essentially, I'm hoping that the Wonder Woman explanation is something as crazy as that.
She was banished to Themyscira for 40 years.
Like the whole old family guy joke when they're in Germany and he's looking through the book when they're on the tour and Brian goes, why is there nothing here from 1931 to
1945? Everyone was gone.
We went on vacation.
Yeah, that's right.
But yeah. So the other thing, going on the Marvel side real quick, back there. The Defenders, everything I heard about that seems amazing, and I can't wait for it to come out. And it also got
I read the opposite.
What was that?
I read the opposite. I read that the first couple of episodes are good, and it's just not enough to sustain, the show.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard that about, you know, Luke Cage, and I didn't agree with it.
Okay.
You know, but...
But isn't The Defenders only like 5 episodes?
Yeah.
Right?
Well, yeah, so I think
I thought it was like 8 or 9.
I don't think it's that long, but... Yeah. Yeah, but okay. I think just people maybe... They could have very well made the first three really good, and the other ones are good, and then being some critics, just that tail off, they make it seem more drastic than it is. But the one thing that made me mad is the thing I know that the cinematic arm and the TV arm like really hate each other in Marvel.
Yeah, they don't really acknowledge the TV.
Yeah, because
The Netflix.
Yeah, because Kevin Feige essentially hated having to work around Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Okay. So they just basically now don't even worry about it, and it makes me upset because I would love in Infinity War just to have like a 2 second or like little cameo, like one of the Avengers is in danger and all of a sudden either all four defenders or one of them just comes out of nowhere, knocks the enemy off, and they go, thanks, and then they separate. And just that little Easter egg in a big fight. Like, but they'll never do that.
I would think if they were going to do it, it would be more of a Spider-Man runs into them because it's street level, right? Yeah. So you know you have Spidey swinging through the city helping people out, and there's Luke Cage and he punches a bad guy through a wall, whatever. You know, so there is some type of acknowledgement that yes,
yeah, but I
the defenders are here.
The animosity I think will stop that from happening, and it kind of makes me upset. Because I think those characters would be a great addition as little tiny parts of a big giant battle scene, and you're just never going to get it.
Yeah, so. I think people would appreciate it. I know I'd love it. Obviously, you would enjoy it. But, you know, I didn't realize that there was so much hate, or like you said, animosity that would kind of get in their way.
I think it was because they had to keep, because isn't, Ant, you can correct me if I'm wrong here. But isn't the TV thing more run by the Marvel Comics people than the movies are?
I think they have a TV division and they have got a movie division. Yeah. I don't know.
The thing I remember is that
comics are kind of like, you know, the comic business is not running anything at this point. You know, comic business is small compared to what they make off of the movies.
I think what I've heard and read is that the TV people more run things by the comic people before they put anything on TV or go with any storylines, and that the cinematic people just have stopped caring about that.
Mm-hmm.
And
they kind of have carte blanche.
Yeah, and essentially that's where the split comes, is because the comic arm and the cinematic arm are at odds, and therefore since the TV is so connected to them, it's just weird inside stuff that, you know, as we celebrate, you know, getting Spider-Man on there, you know, you're missing out on these little cool cameos. I just wish, are you guys in the camp that there's absolutely no shot at any X-Men?
Yeah.
Coming in?
For this movie.
I know not for Infinity War, but I mean at all.
It'll be a long time.
Yeah.
I'd say at least 8 years.
Yeah.
It's going to... And the sad thing is we'll never get that Hulk-Wolverine meet-up with Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
Which would have been some... I know they had a storyline where it was X-Men versus the Avengers. And it was actually a pretty decent storyline.
Mm-hmm.
It involves the Phoenix Force coming back, and it's a whole convoluted thing, but it turned out to be pretty cool action sequences in the comics. So that would have been interesting to explore, but I just... Fox makes good money off of the X-Men
story. Yeah. So that's always the thing that I'm seeing all the panels at San Diego, and you see the two separate ones. It's... You know, wishing all that stuff could be one, and I don't know what the hell, even though I love Ezra Miller, I don't know what the story is, why DC doesn't want any of the television versions of their characters showing up in any of the movies.
Right. Because,
you know, I guess Flash is the easiest one to recast because of the multiverse.
Mm-hmm.
you know, but, you know, they already have these great established characters, and, you know, it's going to be a little more weird for them than it is going to be for Marvel. But, yeah. Yeah, I just, yeah.
Well,
yeah, I don't...
One thing... Oh, go ahead, Mark, I'm sorry. Thank you. Oh.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to think of anything else from Comic-Con that's a little less... that we haven't talked about. That's a little less depressing. I think...
I was going to say, the one that surprised me the most was the concept art for Captain Marvel.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I did see that.
Marvel showed off some concept art, and I think they showed off some stuff for Black Panther. They might have even showed a trailer. I'm not 100% sure. They showed off some stuff for that, and then they showed off concept art for Captain Marvel, and said it's going to be a period piece. It's going to take place in the early 1990s.
Yeah.
And she's going to be going up against the Skrulls, which are big players in the Marvel comic. They're an alien race, and they usually are in the middle of a lot of intergalactic battles and whatnot, not like that. And I think that's a good sign, I think. Yeah. I always enjoy period pieces, and it'll be interesting to see. It's cool because if this is the case, she predates Iron Man. So other than Captain America, she's pretty much the first metahuman.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's a good reason to keep her out of Infinity War. You know, is if you're going to introduce her and her standalone as in the 90s, it'd be kind of hard to, you know, it's kind of like the issue DC had with Wonder Woman by introducing her in modern days and then make her story so far in the past.
I'm kind of interested to see how she winds up in the Avengers movie. And maybe does she have, is she not on Earth anymore? Does she have amnesia or something like that?
Yeah, because what I heard, I don't think she's in the at least the first one, because it's two parter. Did they
correct
mix those together? Or are they still doing two parts?
They're doing two parts: Infinity War and then the untitled fourth movie.
Yeah.
So she's gonna be in that one, not in.
Yeah,
I thought she was gonna be in Infinity War, but apparently not.
No. Yeah. Yeah. That's. When I heard that news, I was disappointed. But it makes more sense once I found out what her standalone movie was based on.
Did either of you see the leaked Infinity War trailer?
Did not.
No, I did not.
And from what I saw, it looks very bleak, which is, I think, is. I'm kind of hoping that they lose. I know it's kind of ripping off my other idea for DC. Since we already know there's two parts of this, I think it would be interesting to see the Avengers lose in this and then come strong in the next one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, have it be the dark first chapter and then they come and save the day.
It's almost like the Empire Strikes Back version.
Yeah.
I can give you a quick rundown.
Nope.
No, you don't want to hear? All right, cool. I respect your opinion, not opinion, your wishes. And I will.
Yeah, do you guys
see it? We're not supposed to see it.
Yeah, it's anything else from Comic-Con that we didn't mention?
I think that's basically it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we're already an hour into this podcast. I think this is a good place to say we've wrapped everything up.
We did. We touched on all the major stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Everyone's
got a pretty exciting San Diego Comic-Con. I look forward to a lot of the stuff that we saw things from.
Yeah. Yeah, we should begin. I think They're saying that the Infinity War trailer will probably drop before. Not too much longer.
Hmm. Yeah. Just a couple more months.
I would go all over that thing like right on rice.
Yeah, I tried, but I everything was taken down by the time I looked.
It was so pathetic. I'm sitting there, I'm like, Jen, come look at this, and it's so blurry you could hardly make things out of time. This looks great. I'm very delusional and I have problems. I recognize it.
Well, apparently this is the podcast for it.
It is.
Problems. Right, Mark?
Yes.
So that's going to wrap it up this week for the Main Damien podcast. You can check us out at themaindamien.com. You can also see what we've been tweeting at twitter.com/themaindamien. If you want, you can go onto Facebook and join our Facebook group where you'll find a whole bunch of updates for every time we have a new article or a new video. That is facebook.com/themaindamien. We are on Twitch, twitch.tv/themaindamien. Yep. Mark does streams every Wednesday and Sunday morning. He'll do Wednesday night, Sunday morning. Sometimes he'll throw in another one here and there, but that's pretty much his schedule right now.
Yep.
And he posts old streams up on tinyurl.com/themaindamien, our YouTube page. You can reach Mark at Off the Mark Tweet. Dan is at daquino122.
Correct.
Nice. And I'm at AntDelVec. If you have any questions or comments, you can send an email to us at themaindamien@gmail.com. You can subscribe to us on iTunes. Please like, share, subscribe, review, anything that sounds like it's a good online thing to do for us, please do for us. But I guess that's it. So we'll talk to you next time. For Dan Aquino and Mark Myers, this is Anthony Delvecchio telling Jason Lively to go fuck himself.